From bluffs to beaches, Beaver Island captivates its visitors with its natural beauty. For this reason, the Central Michigan University Honors Program travels here annually to research the island's diverse biological community. This year, a new group of honors students immerse themselves within the culture of the island. Our goal was to uncover the stories of Beaver Island and dramatize what was important to the islanders as well as what would interest people in visiting this beautiful, unique place. We invite you to listen to these short vignettes to understand how Beaver Island became the captivating place it is today. Discover Beaver Island.
Our first story is Erin Moore Irishman, written by John Slough.
In 1856, after reclaiming Beaver Island, the Irishman Black John Bonner and others send letters back to their homeland, calling fellow Irish out of the famine to share in the wonderful opportunities presented by the island. The year is now 1858, and we find old John Gillespie debating with Charlie O'Donnell about the prospects of joining the flood of Irish heading to America's Emerald Isle.
Charlie, how's the harvest looking down at the south end?
It's getting worse every year, I'm afraid. Can't find a way to keep out the rot. You know, to be honest, I'm getting quite worried. Last year, me and mine had to settle for seaweed by the end of the winter. Disgraceful.
It seems all of Ireland will never get past this cursed potato blight.
I bet you're glad you put all your eggs in the fishing business.
Sure am. But that's not been the best lately either. Speaking of this, I have here a letter from some of Mary's side of the family. Yours too, the O'Donnells. Says we should think about joining them. In the colonies.
The wonderful new world? I don't know about that. Feels as if I've heard too many stories of Irish getting stuck with the work that makes you die the fastest. They don't like us much over there.
Very true, my friend. It says here that it could be different, though. They found a place just like here in Erinmore. A sister island of sorts.
An island? In America?
And a lake. Off the coast of one of their states, One of them called Michigan. They want us Irish to come and stick together in this place called Beaver Island. Apparently, they just got it back, too. Anthony O'Donnell, of course. You know, old salty. Wants me to bring my fishing knowledge. Says that they got fish to spare. They're drowning in it. Reading through this, I don't know. It seems quite desirable.
Really? How many of us have gone?
Many of the Toronto and New York O'Donnells have already moved there. Starting and owning their own businesses. Not always making the most, but they're in control of their own lives.
Can barely imagine what that would feel like. Now, if they had some farming, I might even consider it.
As a matter of fact, Charlie, there is.
Well, all right then. Now you have to tell me more about it. What's this place like? How'd they get a hold of this paradise?
Well, we had some land for some time, and then it was taken away by a king of some sort. Because he was killed. Not sure of many of the details, but we were able to move back.
Sounds like kings of every kind just cause the Irish trouble wherever we go.
Well, at least the one in America can't any longer. But to answer your questions, it says here that our people would feel right at home. Enough land to farm, and too much coastline for 100 men to set sail and fish all day in. The more I read, the more convinced I am to join them.
You know, it sounds like a great idea. What about our way of life, John? Ireland is our home, and I certainly want my children to know their heritage.
That's the point, though, isn't it? We're making a new and better life over there while joining all the other families. My wife's and your O'Donnells are one of the biggest already there to keep our traditions and raise our children.
It sounds like you've already got your mindset.
As a matter of fact, I think I have. And as long as Mary and I can have a sit down and chat, I think she'd like to be surrounded by her own family. I've been hearing of more and more families heading out to America every day. Not saying we should go just because of that, but it must be popular for a reason.
How about this? You move over there first and tell me how it is. I don't trust any of my crazy cousin's thoughts about it. And from what I'm hearing, maybe you should show me some of the trade, and I can make out as a pretty good fisherman. It'd be nice to change it up. I just have to get my sea legs.
Oh, you'd probably get them on the trip across the pond. I'd have you making a living in no time.
Then maybe it is time for this. No harsh English regulation. A new start. Just imagine I walked in this pub just for a couple of laughs before heading home. Now I'm thinking to change my whole family's life. If it's all true, though, it'd be for the better.
Sure would.
John Gillespie, his wife Mary, and their family emigrated from Erinmore to Beaver Island in 1859. Later, Charlie O'Donnell and his wife, Grace Gillespie, moved to Toronto, eventually stealing across the border. Charlie, now working on Beaver Island, convinced his wife to move there, saying, "This place looks just like Ireland, only better." When Grace came, she brought members of the families of McDonough and Gallagher with her to join the families already situated there. This is how the rich ancestry from Ireland became so integrated into the culture of Beaver Island.
Next up is The Lone Fisherman, written by Zane Olson.
It is 1898, and two men just off the coast of Beaver Island, Michigan, are out fishing during the recently proclaimed closed season. The men, Joseph and Frank, are worried they will be captured by the Game and Fish Warden of the state, who has been patrolling Lake Michigan waters looking for anyone not following the strict new laws.
So you're sure we should be out here, Frank?
For cripes sake, Joseph. What have I been telling you since leaving St. James? The warden's got no idea we're out fishing. There's not a single boat around for miles, except for that tug on the horizon. But that's nothing to worry about.
I know. It's just... I don't know what pegging the kids would do if we was to get caught is all. It's hard enough to get by in the winter, even when I'm there to provide for them. And
so you think you'd be able to provide for your family when the Booth Fish Company doubles their prices in a few weeks? They're the whole reason we're sneaking out here in the first place.
What do you mean? You told me it was the state that banned us from going out today.
Well, that's what they want us to think. But old David was telling me at the pub yesterday that the bigwigs up in the Booth Fish Company bribed the government into this whole closed season nonsense.
You don't say.
And what's more, the new law gives the warden even more power. That bloody scoundrel could now take this here boat without so much as a warning, as if he didn't push us around enough already.
Aye, this is bad. Really bad. But fishermen, for crying out loud. If we don't have a boat, what does that make us?
One step from the grave, that's what. We don't have a choice. It's either fish out here and risk capture, or stay on land and starve.
Yeah, I know you're right. Why'd it have to get this bad? Big companies buying out the government like we buy bread at the market, and the government just ignoring folks like us, the very folks they're supposed to speak for? I hate it. We're so powerless to do anything.
Yeah, but what's a man to do? We've got mouths to feed and a hearth to keep warm. No time to mull over the wrongs of the world. Go and grab that large net over by the stern, will ya?
Frank?
What is it, Joseph? Did you not see the net? It's hanging right above the barrel.
The tug you saw earlier. It's getting pretty close. I think they might be following us.
For pity's sake. Why'd you always gotta be so paranoid? Probably just a cargo load from the mainland. Just quit your worry and grab me that net, alright?
Okay, whatever you say. You said it was just back here?
Yep, just hanging above the barrels and the fish hooks.
Frank, that hook has a cannon pointed straight at us. It's gotta be the warden. What are we supposed to do? Run away? Surrender? Pretend like we're not out fishing?
Just calm down, alright? We're gonna figure this out. They won't shoot us. We're completely unarmed. I'm just gonna give her some gas and we'll slip out of here.
Okay. Get us back in one piece, all right? I just want to go home to Peggy and the kids with...
The warden's cannon destroyed the boat, and the two men were apprehended by the state. Upon being released, the pair traveled back to Beaver Island and reunited with their families. Let us now join Frank and Joseph cautiously walking into St. James to meet their fellow fishermen to decide their best course of action.
So you know Sean up at the harbor?
Yeah, I know him.
Well, he gave me his word he would sound the foghorn 3 times if the warden's boat gets anywhere near this island. If we hear that, we've got to head inland and hole up for a few days.
Okay, that sounds about right. I'll let Peggy know so she'll be ready. Do you think we'll ever get out of this nonsense? Or will you and I always be on the run?
I did hear that most of the island is on our side, and they're all set to pitch in money for a lawyer. If we can get enough funds, we might just have a chance to get some justice.
Well, that's great, isn't it?
It is, assuming they listen to us. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time and money.
At least it's something. The warden can destroy our boats, take away our fishing season, but at least we'll still have hope.
Yep, that's true. I only hope this meeting today can get us somewhere, because if there's one thing we need, it's an organized... Quick, grab your family! I'll meet you inland. We're gonna be fine. It's gonna be all right.
Nothing else is known about what happened after Frank and Joseph ran off. Even though they were never apprehended, many others were arrested for fishing during the close season as a result of the corrupt legislation. While this was a serious blow to the fishing industry of Beaver Island, the brave fishermen remained valiant and were able to prosper in the coming years. To learn more about this story and others related to Beaver Island's rich history of fishing and boating, please visit the Marine Museum, downtown St. James.
The next story is Man of Many Hats, written by Samantha Anker.
Wow, this place is really pretty. I should probably check in at the community center to grab a map.
Hello. Welcome to the Beaver Island Community Center. What can I get for you today?
Hi. This is my first time visiting the island, and I just wanted to grab a map really quick before I started to explore.
Oh, I'll grab one for you. While I'm grabbing one, do you have any questions about the island?
Well, I guess. I need to pick up some food for my cabin. Do you know where the grocery store is?
Oh, yeah. It's actually just down the road a little ways. You can't miss it. Just head out and turn left.
Thanks. You know, how many people actually live on this island? It looks so pretty, but the town didn't seem too crowded.
Probably only around 600-ish people. We're a small community, but we're close. Oh, here's your map. Hopefully I'll see you soon.
Oh, thanks. See ya. Gosh, this island is beautiful. I can't believe that more people don't live here.
Hello. Can I help you find anything?
Yeah. Wait. Weren't you just at the community center? Didn't I just talk to you there?
Oh, yeah. A lot of us on the island work a couple different jobs.
How did you get here so fast?
Oh, you know.
Oh, I see. Well, I just have to pick up a few groceries.
No problem. Let me know if you need any help.
Thanks. Well, that's probably all the food I'll need for the week. Thanks for helping.
No problem. Hope to see you soon.
Yep, see ya. Shoot, my tire's flat. Did I bring a spare?
I've got ya. I can get a truck to take you to my shop and help you get a new tire.
You're a mechanic too? And when did you change into that outfit?
Yep. Like I said, we on the island tend to have a couple jobs. Let me get the tow truck for ya.
Wait, so you drive the tow truck too?
I sure do. How else would I make sure that people come to my shop?
Oh, how funny. Wow, the people on this island sure do a lot for themselves. I knew it was like that a couple hundred years ago, but I guess he and the other islanders have kept up the tradition.
All right, I'll hook up your car for you.
Thanks. You know, I was just wondering, do all of the people on the island have as many jobs as you?
Oh, no, not nearly. But there are a lot of us who work multiple jobs or volunteer in different positions to help out our community.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, like I said earlier, there's only about 600 full-time residents on the island, so some of us have some extra jobs to make sure everything runs smoothly.
Oh, I see. That's very interesting. So the community really does a lot for themselves.
Well, when the ferry to the mainland takes a couple of hours, what else are you supposed to do? All right. I think I've got your car hooked up now. Hop in.
Thanks.
So, where are you staying on the island?
I'm actually just right up the road here to the...
Oh, yikes. Where at? South End? Got it. Be there in a jiff. That's not good.
Wait, what is it?
Sounds like there's a fire off in one of the houses on the south end of the island.
Oh no. I hope everything is okay. I'm on the north end of the island, so we shouldn't... Wait, where did you get that fireman hat from?
I have to go help put out the fire.
Wait, what?
I'm a volunteer firefighter, too.
We're going to the fire?
Yep. You stay in the car, and we'll have it put out real quick.
Isn't there an actual fire department?
Nope. It's pretty much just whoever wants to help. And I guess that's you now, too.
Oh. Well, all right. I guess this is one way to explore the island.
Our final story is The Impact of Fyodor Protar on Beaver Island, written by Emily Schwemmer.
Fyodor Protar moved to Beaver Island in 1893 and lived there for 32 years. The islanders welcomed him with open arms, but he wanted to live a secluded lifestyle. Despite that, children on the island would often visit him when they were sick or even when they weren't, because he would give them little surprises.
He never collected payment for his services. Throughout his life on the island, he assisted the islanders in several special ways, especially the children and the island's train conductor. Protar enhanced the lives of many and continues to lead as an example of philanthropy on the island to this day. This is his story.
Have you heard about the newcomer from Illinois? I hear he was a professor and a really good actor. He came from Russia and moved all over America. Worked in New York, even Texas. Then he came here to Beaver Island, I guess.
Yeah, his name was Fyodor Protar. He used to visit here in the summers. I didn't know he was planning on moving here, though. Different life for city folk.
Someone said he wanted a secluded life. He said he likes to live alone, so he fixed up an abandoned house way out of town. He's trying to retire, although I've also heard he took up studying medicine. Gives out remedies for free.
Really? He must have had a lot of money saved up from his acting career to be able to do that.
He started farming and everything.
Hardly a retired life.
He supposedly lives very simply, too. Never shaves or gets outside help. Just lives off his land.
Seems like an interesting guy. Maybe he'll come into town soon.
Doubt it. He's only been seen in town once so far, and it was to have a drink. I doubt he'll come back unless it's absolutely necessary.
Well, hopefully we won't have to visit him at his house. We would hate to walk all the way out there just to cure a cough.
Fyodor Protar was not a trained doctor, but when he moved to Beaver Island, he studied pharmacology to help the islanders. He knew remedies for sore throats, upset stomachs, twisted ankles, and other minor injuries and illnesses. He made medicines for all of these illnesses and never charged a penny for them. Many children came to visit him because he would give them peppermints and books to read.
Ah, good. The Creolan Inn from Sears. Better get to mixing. Perfect.
Hello? Mr. Protar?
What seems to be problem?
My throat has hurt for a few days now and my nose is running.
I've got just the thing for you. Give me a minute. Here, this is good for you.
Yuck! What is this?
It's cough syrup. I have this gargle for you too.
Ugh! I feel better though.
Good. Take pill and it will get rid of your stuffy nose. Here's a peppermint to get rid of the taste.
Thanks, Mr. Protar. Here's a payment for you.
No payment. Don't worry about it.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. I'm just old man who is happy to help.
Protar used to take walks down the road from his house in his spare time. Not much was near his living place except the train tracks. This was his favorite spot to go for walks. He would sit down and watch the trains go by. One Tuesday afternoon, one of the trains stopped.
Hey, Doc. How are you?
Oh, just call me Fyodor.
Okay, Fyodor. You hear about the ferry ship that caught fire and swayed the island? Real tragic. I'm delivering lumber so they can build a new boat.
Yeah, read it in the paper just last morning. Real tragedy.
Well, I better get going. I just stopped because I saw you walking all alone out here. Thought I'd keep you company.
Thanks, conductor.
Name's David Chase, but just call me David.
Fyodor Protar and David Chase became friends. Sometimes Chase would stop by and say hello on his train rides to get or deliver lumber, until he died on April 17, 1908.
Hey, honey. Did you hear? David Chase was killed by an overturned train.
Oh, how horrible. When did this happen?
Yesterday, on Good Friday. I heard in town that they're burying him next week.
That's awful. We should attend the funeral. David was a good man.
We should. I also heard that Mr. Protar is paying for a cross to be put on his tomb. Never knew they were friends.
I didn't either. Maybe Dr. Protar will be at the burial service. He doesn't come into town very often, but I guess if they were friends, that would give him reason enough.
Guess so.
Fyodor did pay for a cross and plaque to remember David by. Chase was buried not far from the site of the train accident near Fyodor's house. Fyodor Protar died in 1925. Although he was not an island native, he touched the lives of hundreds of people. The islanders mourned his death, and he was buried less than a mile away from his home, near his favorite walking spot, not far from where David Chase was buried. His headstone was small, but the island children wanted to do something special to remember his life.
Who's going to take care have my cough when I'm sick.
Who's going to give us advice on what to do when we roll our ankles?
Who's going to give us books when we finish ours?
Don't worry, I'm sure someone will take up the position as doctor.
Wait, I have an idea.
What is it?
I think we should ask all of our friends for a few pennies so we can get a plaque for his grave.
Great idea! Oh, Mom, can we please?
If you can collect the money, I know an artist from New York that can make a bronze plaque for the grave.
Okay, let's go.
The night before Fyodor Protar died, he underlined a phrase in a book he was reading. It stated, "The best preparation for death is a righteous way of life." Protar certainly lived his life righteously and impacted Beaver Island in a way that could never be forgotten.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast tonight. The CMU Honor students would like to thank Kevin Boyle at WVBI for letting us use his studio to record our stories and for putting them on air. We would like to thank Mark and Lori for letting us into the different museums and historical sites around the island while we conducted our research. Thank you to the other community members that we talked to that taught us about the island and its culture. And lastly, we would like to thank our professor Will Anderson for having the idea for this class and helping us develop this project. Without him, none of these stories would have been possible.
The stories you heard tonight were written by John Slough, Zane Olson, Samantha Anker, and Emily Schwemmer. The voice actors for these pieces included Keegan Galoner, Anna Rudnitsky, Jordan Rademacher, Abby Van Alsberg, Evan Miller, Samantha Anker, Grant Palmentier, Zane Olson, Emily Schwemmer, and John Slough.
Discover Beaver Island.